Salo Falava. I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field. My name is Sam Wykes and it's another jam-packed episode today, sharing some of the best sporting stories from our Pacifica sports people on this show. And as always, I've got two co-hosts joining me from across the Pacific to help me share the load. And each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands. And let's get them in right now. I'm actually going to go to Tonga first and check in with my part-time comedian, but she's a part-time broadcasting and reporting veteran, Galo Manumoli. Malolele, Galo.
Malei, fefehake.
Saipe. Man, how was your week in Tonga when all those parades were happening? It looked like an absolute vibe over there.
Definitely the vibe was in Tonga and in Nuku'alofa, central downtown, and just everywhere. There were floats, there were flags, people wearing red every week, almost every day. It was pretty crazy and, you know, great fun to have our boys here in Tonga.
I know we're going to chat more about it in the show, but I believe you took your son along with you. How was he interacting with all the superstars from the Tongan side?
I think he was a bit starstruck and just kind of stood there and nudging his mother to make sure that, you know, he gets in to one of the photos. So I was more like liaise for him to make sure that he was taking photos with all the stars.
And who was his favorite player or is his favorite player?
Jason Taumalolo, of course.
Jason Taumalolo.
Tonga's ultimate favorite player.
love it. We were supposed to have Finau Vulivuri, but it just seems like we've got some internet difficulties over in Fiji. But at the moment, it looks like it's just you, Galo. And let's get to what's coming up on the show. Speaking of the Tongan team, we'll hear from rookie Rob Toia and inspirational trailblazer Jason Taumalolo.
It's always a privilege and, you know, I never take it for granted to be in here and playing and representing Tonga. And like you said, like, I've been here for a while and I've seen the team change over the last few years and seeing the upcoming new stars.
You'll also hear from William Peter from Fiji Basketball off the back of their success at the Melanesian Cup and looking ahead to the next Pacific Games.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that we will be looking to prepare is our youth. Like we said earlier, just getting as our youth players integrated into the program and getting them ready for that opportunity if it presents itself to them and if they're able to make that team.
Plus, there's plenty of news in local school sport, including football, hockey, basketball, rugby league, cricket, and our usual trivia and games. So, let's go.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Here on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news story in your town, the one that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it will be on the Coconut Wireless. And we're going to go straight to Tonga for this one. What's the talk of the town in Tonga?
Well, actually, yes, it's it should be just around the MMT or the Matema Tonga boys visiting. But we've also got another highlight. I think I'm going to redirect it, not just to be about the boys. We've got our young ladies, the Tonga Tala team, coming to Tonga. And they've got like special games here in the country to also be part of the anniversary for the Tonga Constitution. We've got a big celebration happening in Tonga. We've got some public holidays, and as part of that, we've got the Tala team coming to take part in some games, local games, on the 31st of October. We've got November 1st and also November 3rd. And they're going to be not at the car park, no, but they're going to be at the Tonga High School Indoor Stadium. So, and I can see the announcement here from the Tonga Netball Association that, you know, it's a free admission for all. And I'm sure that, you know, the whole of the whole country is anticipating to watch the girls. We've been watching them, you know, and just clapping for them online with the live stream, with on TV. But to see them play, you know, with our own eyes, it's going to be totally, totally amazing.
Must have been a big decision to move it from the famous car park of playing netball to Tonga High. Are some of the girls disappointed they don't get to play at the, I guess, the heartbeat of netball in Tonga at the car park?
You know what? I do not think that they are going to be robbed of that opportunity because this is like the number one, you know, practice area or spot where you can just find all our netball lovers there from during the day or when closing of business and nobody's using the car park. Everybody can just bring the ball and just play their game. So I'm sure that the Tala girls will be there to play with some of the community groups and also just to meet, you know, fans all around. But, you know, I think the last time they were here, they would be like really swamped with a really tight schedule like the MNT boys. They were they would be visiting and meeting people, having special breakfast and dinners and luncheon at these high level places. So hopefully they'll be able to get away from that and do some practice time at the car park. But if they do, I'll definitely update you.
Nice. I think it's just wonderful to see those stories coming out of the kingdom. We've had the Tongan League team there. Now we've got the Tala there. We've got the Tongan women's team playing in PNG. So a lot to celebrate in the beautiful kingdom. And thank you so much for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless.
ABC Radio Australia. Pacific Sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Galor, I know we've been talking about Tonga this whole time and I can't change it to a Tongan podcast or Tongan radio station, but what other news do we have from yourself?
I think the exciting news, besides our famous teams from the Matema Tonga and also the Tala group, we've got lots of other development programs being happening, and Tasanok is at the forefront of doing that, the Tonga Sports Association and National Olympic Committee. So at the same time, they are preparing for all sorts of international games. But we've got the Oceania Athletics Masters Cup coming up soon here in the kingdom. I believe it's at the end of this month. So it's very exciting to see how that developed and unfolds. And we are expecting a whole lot of people coming down. We've got competitors who are coming in. At the same time, we've got Tonga team trying to make sure that they win all the gold at the Oceania Masters Cup that's coming up at the end of the month. So we are quite excited to welcome all of the visiting Pacific Islanders and competitors. And also, there's also another training or a workshop that's going to be happening to make sure we have some legal or registered volunteers or officials to be participating throughout this event. So it's quite exciting here in the Kingdom of Tonga. It's not just in the sports of athletics. We've got rugby union, we've got rugby league, we've got tournaments in netball happening, we've got all sorts of sports. So here in Tonga, it's a whole balance. And it's really good to see that the government, as well as, you know, these non-profit organizations and even community groups are really supporting the young ones to promote their talent, because we can see the pathway that's going, taking them internationally. And yeah, parents here can really see the potential in their children, and they're there taking their kids to these, even if it's a car park, practice after school or down at the field. I'm very proud to say that, you know, these children of everybody is well supported here in Tonga.
Yeah, one of the sprinters from Nauru, Windsor Kakioa, is excited to get to the kingdom. He said he's very excited to taste all the food in Tonga. So, yeah, plenty happening over there. But what else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
Firstly, we've got the Wuxi 2025 Taekwondo competition that's happening in China from the 24th to the 30th of October. And we've got a group going in to represent Tonga. So it's exciting to see that there are really good talent out there, especially in all sorts of sports. But this time is Taekwondo. And we've got a group that's consisting, the team Tonga is consisting of Alisi Faitangane, we've got Pauline Lolohea, and we've got Atiola Stapa, Veni Laite Mwala, and the officials, of course, we've got Paula Stapa and Peter Taufatofua and Fa'alongo Tova, who are always supporting the team, who are right there to practice with them. We can see on social media that they are having practices already in China. They've traveled there. They've arrived safely, and they are just making sure that they are well prepared. And I think in the likes of Peter, our Taekwondo superstar, he's definitely going to give these kids some tips.
And Galo, I believe you've also tried out cricket, dabbled in that sport as well.
I'm not a pro in this sport, but yes, I was able to put on my swimming goggles, and I could faintly see that there was a bit of cricket. And the ICC Men's T20 World Cup East Asia Pacific qualifier, the Super Sixes, we've got Samoa in there, barely in there at number six, but Nepal
has won. Whoa, was that a little dig? Is that something that the rivalry just kicking in, just leading into this week's game? Is that the tone I'm getting from your voice?
Sorry, Nepal won already.
Wait, we've got love for all our Samoan listeners out there.
So Nepal has been crowned champions of the ICC Men's T20 World Cup Asia EAP qualifier, and finishing their campaign unbeaten, of course, and they won a 124-run victory over Samoa. I was not meant to report on Samoa like that, but, you know, that's just, it's sports reporting. I'm not being biased. I'm just being balanced.
It doesn't sound like it, but that's okay. I'll balance it out for us.
Yeah, so it's really good to see that PNG and Samoa were participating in this. It's good that that at the end there, Samoa was able to play with Nepal, even though Nepal was unbeaten. And so it's exciting to see the cricket being developed also here in the Pacific.
Amazing that Samoa have made it to that tournament. You know, huge leap for them in the region and looking to rise in the rankings in cricket. You know, they didn't get the results in the Super Six stage, but still, an amazing achievement. Cricket's not a popular sport across the islands, but it's great to see Samoa putting cricket on the map for people to hopefully one day follow in their footsteps. We still have no Finau, but she had some important football news to share with us. Fiji have appointed a new coach of their men's football team, Stéphane Ouvrier. The Frenchman has replaced Rob Sherman and will be based in Fiji, which was a crucial part of the job, according to Fiji Football Association. Ovoe has captained the French region of Guadeloupe and has played in the MLS in America and in Singapore as well. Hopefully this brings a lot more success for the Buller Boys. And I also saw that the Solomon Islands women's team have appointed a new coach. Australian Daniel Barrett has just begun in his new role and has previously coached women's teams in the Australian competitions such as Sydney FC, Western Sydney Wanderers, and the Central Coast Mariners. He will first lead the team next month at the Prime Minister's Cup in PNG. So good news for both teams and good luck in the future. But as always, thank you so much. We always love to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. All right, it's that time of the show where we have a bit of fun and see who is a good liar. We are going to play Gyaman Stapwe, which is Tok Pissin for Pick the Lie. And we've got a bit of a change in the format because I believe the internet has dropped out in Fiji and some technical issues there. So, Gullo, it's just me and you. One-on-one, you're going to try and go against me. But I didn't come prepared with any truths or lies, so I'm just going to leave it all with you, okay? And we'll go from there. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I didn't come prepared to. I think I've run out of lies.
Too many parades with the Tongan team, that's why. But all right, let's get into it. We'll start with you.
Okay, sounds interesting. Oh, what is something that I haven't shared on public platform? Okay. Well, since I think our sports or our MMT boys started out for me, they were talking about eating various meat here in Tonga.
I know where this is going. I can already feel where this is going, but let's continue.
So I'll just say three of the meat that I have. I'm going to say three meat here, and you can guess which one I have not tasted.
Okay.
So we've not got tasted. One. Okay. We've got frog meat, and we've got coolie, dog meat, and we've got the third one, whale meat. So which of the three I have not tasted?
Have not tasted. Oh, well, there's no way you've eaten a whale. There's absolutely no way. I believe, I don't know what frogs are in Tonga, but there's a part of me where, have you gone to France or something like that and had some frog meat? I know you definitely had the kuri, which is the dog. You've mentioned that one before. There's just no way you can eat a whale. There's no way. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But there was actually a bit of, they found a whale out in at sea, was already, I think it was attacked by other sea creatures, and so some of them brought it back and shared the meat and also some of its the whale meat. So a lot of people were able to taste it. I think this is like one in a very long time that has happened here in Tonga, and I think also another happened around in the Pacific as well. But yes, it's not something that we usually do, but no, I wasn't able to taste it.
Okay, so did they cook it or did they just eat it raw?
Oh, no, you have to cook it, I think.
You have to cook it, I think.
Yes.
Okay,
you definitely have to cook it.
Where did you have your frog meat?
Actually, I was visiting the States. They had it at one of those buffets.
Was it yum?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. No. Yeah. There's no way I'm eating eating frog as well. But I think with some time here, I'm actually going to play as well. I feel like I want to play as well. Just before we move on to our interviews, the more serious part of our show, I'm going to give you two lies and one truth, and we'll see if you can guess. Is that all right? Sorry, two truths, one lie.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Here's my two truths and one lie. Today is my daughter's birthday, who turns 12. My wife is 10 years older than me. And the third one, I am wearing silipa. I'm wearing a skirt. That would be called a tupenu. I am wearing now. I'm wearing silipa, which is my thongs or jandals, whatever which people call it, and a PNG hunter's shirt, which is the lie here. My daughter's birthday. My wife is 10 years older than me, and I'm wearing silipa and a PNG hunter's shirt.
I'm gonna go with the obvious one, which is the second one. There is no way that your wife can be 10 years older because she looks very young.
Okay, I'll take that. I thought you were going to say that you like your anyway. But that is the lie. She's not 10 years older than me. She's only a couple of years older than me. She's turning 40 next year though, which she awesome. Doesn't want me to say that ever because she still thinks she's 25, but the greys are coming through. But anyway, let's get to our interviews.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in the game, and each week we hear some chats from across the Pacific. And Galo, we will start with you. Who did you chat to this week?
Just as we started off in the show, all the excitement was here in Tonga with our red wave of fans as they were welcoming our Mate Mā Tonga boys. And fortunately, I was able to participate or be there at Fan Day, which was held at the Te Whaiva field. And the boys were practicing. And right after that, we were able to interview them and take photos with all the people who were there. So the music was pumping. And so I was able to meet up with superstars, Jason Taumalolo and Lopeti To'ia. And I started out by asking Jason about all the passion from the fans.
It's been a great turnout. You know, the love and the support that the boys have received since we got into Tonga has been unreal. And for a few of these boys, it's their first time. So to see the reception we've gotten and the support we've gotten, you know, it's overwhelming. The boys love it, and they love being a part of it, and they love being here in Tonga.
Tell us a bit about, you know, you've been with the team for many of the Mate Mā Tonga games. How does it feel to be still holding on to that and, you know, driving with the Mate Mā Tonga, still holding on to the flag and what are you going to be bringing in to this tournament?
Yeah, obviously it's always a privilege, and, you know, I never take it for granted to be in here and playing and representing Tonga. And, you know, like you said, like, I've been here for a while, and I've seen the team change over the last few years, and seeing the upcoming new stars come through the NRL, and then on top of that, representing Tonga. It's a privilege to be a part of that for myself, and to watch them grow and represent Tonga the same way that all the boys have in the past. It's great to see. So, you know, I bring a lot of experience, and for a few of these guys, it's their first few seasons in the NRL, and to be here representing in the international rep, it'll be exciting for them. So there's a few older guys in the team, like myself, Felice, Daniela Tupou. So we'll be guiding the boys around the field, and hopefully bring that bit of experience in the big games in the next few weeks.
Out of all the events, you know, with your visit here to Tonga, with this tournament and your visit here to Tonga, what is the highlight for you?
The highlight for me so far, just seeing, obviously, the joy and the happiness in everyone that, that we've come across since we've been here. Whether we're walking down the street, going wherever we go, the school visits the other day, everyone's been happy and so loving and caring for us, and they're so happy to see us back here in Tonga, and wherever we drive, whether we're driving up and down the road, and they're beeping at us and waving. It's great to see.
One last thing, you know, what is something, a word of encouragement to our youth who are interested in sports, to leave with them from you, the star?
Yeah. Only words I can give to a lot of the youth and upcoming athletes that want to make it and make a career out of athletes is always believe in yourself, have faith in what you do, and just believe in what you're doing. If you put in the work, you'll get more than just lucky. You'll go a long way.
Thank you. All the best.
I'm here with Robert Doya, who's going to be the rookie for Matema Tonga team. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so full name Lopeti Doya. Mum's from Papua and Kalakupolu, and dad's from Vavau. And I'm 21 years old, and first time being in the squad and first time being in Tonga. And I'm a center for the MMT team.
Sounds great. And Matema Tonga team is very privileged to have you. And what are you going to bring into the games?
Hopefully just bring another body, because it's not much to bring to this team because the team already has it all. So just bring my presence on the field and just engaging with the boys and being a part of this.
I'm hearing great things about your name. What are your secret tactics that you're going to bring on the field? We're so excited to know about it.
To be honest, there's no secret tactics. It's all God. He gives me the strength to go out and do what I do. And he blesses me with so many talents. And I'm just grateful to be, healthy and playing the game, and especially playing for Matema Tonga. It's so special.
So why did you decide to come and play for Matema Tonga?
Every Tongan kid dreams of that. Like, ever since Jason and Andrew Peter, made the move, it's been every kid's dream to, you're put on the red jersey. So, I've had aspirations for playing for this team, and I'm just so glad that I, so grateful for the opportunity that it's come so quick in my first year playing. So, I'm just so blessed, and give all praise to the man above.
And for you guys to come all the way here to Tonga and then be met with like all the fans and the red wave just hits you every day, and with the full schedule, how does it feel?
Oh, it's so special. It's something I've always dreamed of being a part of, and being a part of it, it's no joke. You see all the fans out here, they love the team, and the whole country supports it. It's so beautiful, and it's so special to be a part of it, and so special to come down to Tonga as well and be amongst the people you represent. So it's incredible.
So out of all the events that you've been going around in, what's your favorite Tongan food that you're gonna take back with you?
To be honest, since we've been here, we haven't had much. Actually, yesterday there was guli being cooked, but I didn't have any because I have a dog, so I don't want to do that. I can't do that. But to be honest, my favorite thing, I love the mango dais. We haven't had any since being here, I'm a bit surprised. I thought here in Tonga we'd have heaps, but yeah.
Okay, so I'm definitely sure that you're going to have a very posh lunch today with the king. How do you feel about that? Are you quite nervous?
Very nervous, because it's a very special honor. I'm pretty sure none of my family members have ever been in presence of the king, so it's pretty special, and they reassured me that it's once in a lifetime thing to do. So so honored and blessed to be able to be amongst his presence, and
And lastly, with the game, first game next week, who's gonna win?
Only one answer, MMT.
What an amazing chat. It's so good to see and hear the superstars in the beautiful island, in the motherland. But Rob Doya, did I just hear the kōrī line about he didn't want to eat a dog or try the dog because he has a dog? Did I hear correct there?
You got it right, and I was holding the recorder, and here I am like trying to signal him like, no, don't say that. But it's out there, and I think a lot of people knows how our, especially our guys, they really enjoy the dog meat. No disrespect for those who love the dogs. I have dogs myself, and I love them to bits and pieces. But it's quite a favorite here.
Do you say you
have dog meat?
Do you say you love them to bits and pieces, or you eat them in bits and pieces?
I'll let you
or
have
both,
a taste
or both. Or both. I love them
Tonga.
Too. I love them bits and pieces, and I love eating them in bits and pieces. That's one thing I won't be doing is eating dog unless someone lies to me and says it's sippy, which is lamb in that. But anyway, it's always interesting. Absolutely love it. But before I get to my interview, let's get to some Melanesian Cup results in basketball. We've seen them in the men's PNG won a close one over Fiji, 68 points to 61. Moses Apiko from PNG was named MVP. This is PNG's second title since 2017, so congratulations to them. In the women's, Fiji won their second consecutive Mela Cup, beating PNG 57 to 44. And Fiji's Estelle Kainamoli was named MVP. PNG were undefeated through the tournament, so that was obviously a huge win. And it means that both PNG and Fiji qualify for the Pacific Games in Tahiti in 2027, which I hope I'm on that junket, ready to get over there and cover all the results for that one. But congratulations to both teams. With Fanel not being here still, she did give us an interview with William Peter, who works with Fiji basketball after their success. And Fanel started by asking him about what preparations were like going into the tournament.
The idea was to get the best available team prepared. Whoever was game ready and whoever was in shape to be able to make this competition. And the coaches and their staff, I think, selected the best team that was able to compete. And you can see that both the men's and the women's qualified for 2027 in Tahiti, which was the main goal. And getting a silver for the men and retaining the title for the women was really just icing on the cake. But I think the teams prepared well with the time that they were given. I think that ensured a successful outing for both men's and women's teams.
Absolutely. Coming out of that and qualifying, both teams qualifying directly into the Pacific Games in 2027. One of those competitions that, you know, all the athletes around the region look forward to. Now, in the women's competition, they defended their title again. The girls went down to PNG in the second match of the group stage. However, they regrouped and bounced back stronger. And very immediately, we saw that record-breaking win over Vanuatu. And then a redemption win against PNG in the finals. What were the key tactical adjustments you feel that led to this success?
Yeah, I think the key adjustments was just making sure that they were the girls were able to defend their best player, PNG's best player. And I think she was taken out of the game in that final. And that's, I think, what gave us the advantage. Also, I think it was just the trust and belief in the rest of the team. We had the younger girls that came on in phases there in the finals, and they came up with some big plays and helped give Fiji the momentum. And I think those were the key, I think, adjustments or key moves that Coach Saula and Coach Tiana made in order to help the girls come away with a victory.
Absolutely. We saw the defensive prowess there in the final and definitely tipping the scale towards them. Now, we noticed that the team had a great mixture of experience in youth. Youth in the likes of Makefa, Savu, we had Gabriel Tuvanovo, who was also in the 3x3 competition earlier this year. These youngsters rose to the challenge when it required of them. How important was having this youth in the team and exposing them to such competition? You know, especially in the federation strategy to maintain your reign as one of the basketball powerhouse in the Pacific.
I think it's very important to see these youngsters, especially in the women's team, a total of six new players bred into the squad. And then also in the men's team, we had Gabriel Tuivunovo and Tevita Vodea. Two young and upcoming players that got their first experience of regional, international 5-on-5 competition. And I think it was a good exposure, good experience for all of them. And I think it just deepens the depth chart, deepens the talent pool of talent that we have here in Fiji. And it just creates a healthy competition within our national team program, especially for our coaches to be able to select the best out of the players that we have available. And it's really just creating that pathway and the long-term longevity of our national team program for the years to come, especially looking to the 2027 Pacific Games in Tahiti. And having these young ones in those ranks really sets them up for bigger things in the future.
Now, in competitions like this, you have players who's based in the region, based in the National Association. You have those who come out, you know, from who are playing abroad and come into the region just to play for the country. Estelle Kainamoli, one of the favorites in the competition, she continued to prove herself and step up as one of the senior players in Fiji, you know, despite having at a tender age. You know, she's well followed in, you know, we can say she's one of the best players we have in the region. Now, can you speak about her MVP performance, you know, her defensive prowess, her scoring ability, which was so recognizable, and rebound stats was amazing, made her such an impact on the team's success?
Yeah, I think Estelle really was the key or the glue to the women's team's performance and success at the Mel Cup. She really was one of the players that stepped up her game. And I think she also took it upon herself to avenge the loss that they had in the first pool game against PNG, come back stronger when they met them in the finals. She was everywhere on defense. She was everywhere on offense. And her leadership at, you know, very young age, she's already been able to amass this much in her career, in her basketball career. And to walk away with the MVP performance at 22 years of age is really a milestone. It's a success and it's a testament to the hard work that she's put in all year long, going to the 3x3 World Cup mini games in July, and then now to the Mel Cup with this Mel Cup performance. She's really made and stamped her name in Fiji basketball with our women's program.
Now, finally, you know, the teams went in, Basketball Fiji went in with the vision to qualify to the 2027 Pacific Games. You've achieved that, and it's less than 2 years away. What will be the strategy as you look, you know, to defend the men's title, a big win in the last Pacific Games, and hopefully also for the women to step up on the gold podium?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that we will be looking to prepare is our youth. Like we said earlier, just getting as our youth players integrated into the program and getting them ready for that opportunity if it presents itself to them and if they're able to make that team. Also looking to strengthen our coaching and or develop our coaches to be able to be up to the task and challenge of the Pacific Games in 2027, and having a stronger contingency of coaching behind the players to be able to give us a double gold in Tahiti in 2027. So we look to continue the men's success and also bounce back from the women's bronze medal in 2023 to get the gold in 2027.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
And for me this week, I chatted to Tabitha Saville, who is a Fijian-Australian cricketer. She lived the first part of her life in Fiji before moving to Alice Springs, of all places, in Australia, where she found the sport of cricket. And last month, Tabitha got the chance to represent Fiji for the very first time in cricket. And I started by asking her, where in Fiji is she from?
Suva. I grew up in Suva and I was born in Suva. My mother's actually Fijian and my father's British, so that's where the connection comes in there. She's from Laos. It was pretty cool going back home and linking up with, I have a half-brother over there still. So, yeah, getting that connection there again was pretty cool because I hadn't seen him since I'd left and that was over 20 years ago. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That would have been. What were the emotions like there, seeing each other after such a long period?
Well, for me, it was exciting because, like, he's my big brother, Daryl. I loved him. I was probably his shadow up until we left. We actually went out for dinner and I met his second son, who's actually named after my father, Peter Harvey Saville, which was pretty cute. And I also got to meet his wife for the first time. And it was actually funny, like, after the dinner, he had a little bit of a confession for me. He was like, you know, I actually expected you after all these years to be a little stuck up and that, but, you know, growing up in Australia. And he was like, you're actually a really lovely person. And I was like, you know, I get that a lot, but yeah, I'm just average Joe. Like, I'm just myself. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Like hearing that from him and just, yeah, linking up with him was pretty cool.
That's very interesting. What gives off those vibes that you're stuck up? That like the perception. Is it on your face? Probably, is it written on like, your face somewhere? I don't know.
Nah, just probably like when people hear I grew up in Australia, I think they just think that I've kind of gone away from the culture a little bit. Because to be fair, I am culturally probably leaning more Australian. But I guess there's just some things about the Fijian culture that just sticks. And I think I'm pretty easygoing and easy to get along with. So yeah, I guess that's just stuck.
No, it can't be. I've never met one stuck up Fijian at all. You're too laid exactly. back, too relaxed, too happy. But up until the age of six, what was schooling like for you there or just growing up, some childhood memories?
Yeah, I did kindy there and I also started my first year of school there. I think the one thing I remember was just like we were always running around, always had sport going on in the background somewhere, always pretty happy. But yeah, life in Fiji for me was a dream. Like I was at the time like an only child. My brother hadn't come along yet. So I was probably getting free reign over my parents. So yeah, I think nothing but good memories there.
And when the adjustment from kindy into, I guess, kindy or year one over in Australia, how was your adjustment? Because my cousins and that who did that from there, they hated wearing shoes to school or putting shoes on or just wearing slipper. They just wanted bare feet or slipper over there. What was that like for you?
Yeah, well, we couldn't wear trainers or anything. So I think going to school shoes was a whole new experience because they were leather and black and really uncomfortable. And I also had to wear a dress, which was a bit of a rude shock. I think the massive thing was like you couldn't play if you didn't have a hat, so like no hat,
thing
over here. I think that was a rude adjustment. I reckon in my first 6 months here, I probably played maybe a week of the whole thing because I just wouldn't carry a hat. but I learned pretty quickly after sitting out in the shade a fair bit, especially in primary school when I was probably at my most raddiest.
Well, let's go from now to cricket. Like, how did that come about?
I think when I first got here, I really was a massive tomboy. So like at school I would hang out with the boys and a couple of the girls and we'd just play sport all day. You know, in the winter we'd play soccer and basketball, and then in the summer we'd all play cricket. So I think when I went to after school care, I couldn't understand why my friends weren't with me and they were all like, oh, we're at cricket training, you should come. And I think that's basically how that kind of came about.
I just want to quickly play something for you, just around something you might not like about cricket.
Yeah, I cannot run to save my life. Look at me. Running's not really a thing I enjoy, but I get it done because I understand it's part of the job. But I love hitting balls and that's kind of where my heart's at.
So when we watched that package on that Pacific Sports show where you interviewed and I just seen you take off the line. You were sort of at the back and just the raw honesty around, yeah, I just don't like running. I'll get it done. But when you chose cricket as a kid, was that the big factor, thinking that, oh, look, I don't have to run as much?
Nah, actually, growing up, I was a netballer. Okay. So there was a lot of running in that. I think for cricket, it's actually just, I just wanted to be around my mates, to be fair. And, like, it was just something that just stuck, so I kept going with it. So, yeah.
Okay. And then being, like, probably maybe, I'm assuming, the only Fijian playing cricket at the time there, what was that experience like for you, like, around belonging and thinking, is this normal, especially, you know, even your parents coming to watch you play? Was there anything that you noticed as a kid that was definitely different?
Yeah, well, I think I really sat at this intersectionality because, you know, not only being Fijian, but I was also the only girl. So I think for me, my thoughts were probably more around, is this normal for a girl to be doing? Because there was no other girls playing at the time. But I think, you know, the club cricket really made an effort for me just to really fit in and not really have to go through those thoughts. I think they were pretty aware and very upfront about it. They're like, yeah, you're a girl, but like, who cares? And then I think that's kind of what, I guess, the mentality I adopted for myself. And so I think when it comes to belonging as a person of colour and also a young lady, it didn't really cross my mind too much. And I think I was pretty fortunate too that my friends like they always just saw me for me type thing, which was, I think I was pretty lucky hearing some of the experiences from other sports with Pacific Islanders, but then also people of colour. Like I know I probably felt pretty lucky.
What did your mum, she's Fijian, mum's Fijian?
Yeah.
What was her sort of knowledge around cricket and you playing this this sport that's not really played in Fiji?
Yeah, I think when I started playing cricket, my mum actually also started playing cricket too. So we were going through, you know, learning the sport together at the same time. She played in the women's comp and I played in the juniors. And I think she found a really good bunch of mates too within her own team. So I think that also helped. And we actually had a little bit of crossover as I got a bit older into my teen years where we did play together. And I think that was a really cool experience because it's probably something that won't happen again, me sharing a field with a family member. But yeah, that I think, yeah, my mum made it a really like a priority just to, you know, be around me.
So that is good. Awesome. What a moment. Like I hear the father son moment all the time for rugby league or rugby union. Yeah, that's a goal. Mm. But to do that, what position was she?
She was mainly a bowler. And she's really, really quick in the outfield. She's chalk and cheese to me. She's a tiny little thing, can run for days. So we always just kept her out of boundary. And she was pretty handy with the bat too. She'd always just come in the middle order and she could whack a ball.
Let's go to your debut playing for Fiji. That was just recently, that just recently happened in Fiji. Again, how proud were you and emotional were you to be able to represent Fiji, but to be able to do it where you grew up in Suva?
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of emotions because I obviously hadn't been back for a really, really long time. And I think when I first got there, I was just really honest with the team around my connection to my culture and, you know, having been back. So I think my roommate especially and, you know, the whole team really tried to make me feel welcome and they did. So when I did step out on that field, you know, I was playing for them as much as my country. And yeah, I think for me, it was just like a full circle moment type thing. Yeah, I look back on it and I'm like, geez, like that's pretty cool. Something that I didn't think I was going to do. But yeah, I think when I left, I was probably a lot more emotional because I was like, oh, it's actually coming to an end. And I don't know if I'll be able to play again, like with the calendar and stuff the way it is. But no, I'm really glad I went over there and did that.
What was your highlight?
There was a lot. I think beating Samoa in the last game was a massive highlight because I think it was just a complete performance by us as a team. Yeah, the girls just responded really well to everything we did on the day and we had so much fun doing it and just seeing them sing to the crowd at the end and sending them off and thanking them was a pretty surreal moment.
What about the special moments off the field? Yeah, when you talk about some of learning the hymns or anything like that, what was your favourite bit around that?
I think morning devotion at 5 a.m. was probably something that I learnt to love by the end of it. I think
learnt to love is the key words there.
Because at the start I was like, geez, we've got a game at 9:30 and we're up at 5 a.m. and then like this is just not really great preparation. Here I am. And I think once I kind of got over myself a little bit and just really took it for what it was, I was like, it's actually a really cool time we get to spend together and just like really connect not only with ourselves but spiritually. I think that's probably one thing growing up over here that I didn't really have too much of compared to the girls. So yeah, that was a pretty cool, yeah, just little checkpoint to do.
Yeah, nice. And finally, like the conversation with your mum just around her thoughts and feelings towards you representing the motherland. Yeah, what was it like for her seeing her daughter play over in Suva representing Fiji?
Pretty surreal. I think when I first told her, she was over the moon, like really surprised too. And I think she was happy that it was a path that I took on my own because I think going home was probably something that I needed to do as an adult. And so, yeah, I think there would be a family trip home maybe in the future because of it. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, she loves me so much and she was so happy.
Love it. And where do you want to see Fiji cricket land in the future?
I think we have all the moving parts to be a successful team, especially in the Pacific. I think judging from the other teams, you know, PNG and Vanuatu are really, really leading from the front there. So I think, you know, in the future, maybe the next 1 or 2 years, it'd be really cool to really take it to those teams, both on and off the field. It'd be really cool to see us have a support system the way they do also, but do it in our own way. I think there's a lot of lessons we can take out of there, but there's a lot of good things also about our program. So yeah, I think one day kind of, yeah, be competitive with those nations because they are leading from the front.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Thanks so much, Finau and Galo. Some wonderful stories of our amazing sporting talent from across the Pacific.
Jacob Quiet, we have a winner.
Yes, we do, Michael Child. The 2025 Pacific Break title goes to Mantis from Vanuatu with his track, Weatherman.
Yeah, don't try to play with the weatherman. I make it rain fire, call the fireman. All boy come around like a brother man. Me one, me no not a one.
Yes, yeah. We called Mantis to break the news, and here's how it went down.
Bro, we just wanted to say a huge congratulations, Mantis, because you are the winner of Pacific Break 2025.
Woo! Let's go! Weatherman!
Yes! You're not joking with me, right?
You know, no,
this is for real.
No, Giaman.
Keep it 100. Me no play, me no Giaman.
Huge congratulations to Mantis. You're off to Womb Adelaide, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to everyone who entered this year's Pacific Break competition from right across the Pacific. And we look forward to next year. Mantis.
Fresh off the dome.
All right, before we go, I want to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific. Every week, I ask three questions. And Galo, it's just you being solo this week. Just you. So you still use your name as your buzzer if you think you know the answer. I don't want to get any bad habits in here, so yell it out. And, of course, you can still play along at home as well. So let's play Fresh Off the Dome. And to be crowned champion, because I'm not going to play the game. Obviously, I'm reading the questions and I've got the answers in front of me. So you need to get two questions right for you to be crowned champion today. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, give me all the easy questions.
All right, well, you've got no choice anyway. Let's go. Question number one. Samoa currently doing the Pacific Proud at the under-17 FIFA Women's World Cup, and their first match was against France. France won the match, scoring 4 goals. How many did Samoa score?
Do we get like a...
No multiple choice. They did
multiple
score.
Multiple choice?
No, but they did score.
6-0?
So hang on a tick. France won the match scoring 4 goals and you saying Samoa beat France 6-4?
Oh, oops, sorry.
Go, I'll give you one more guess. I wish the score was 6-4, but it wasn't the case.
1.
Oh, so close. So close. It was 2 goals.
Oh.
Big congrats to Jade Eldridge and Makea Leonard, who scored for Samoa, and the Samoan goalkeeper, Grace Ayer, who was player of the match. Samoa are the smallest nation to ever compete at a FIFA World Cup. Their second match saw them go down 6-0 to Canada, and they play against Nigeria this weekend. But amazing, amazing effort to lose 4-2 and score 2 goals. Honestly, France are a powerhouse in soccer, so we wish them all the best this weekend against Nigeria. Let's get to question number 2. This one is multiple choice. The Hook In for Health program is currently running in Honiara, encouraging kids to get into what sport? Is it A, cricket, B, hockey, or C, futsal? Hook In for Health. There's a bit of a hint for you.
Oh, is it hockey?
It is hockey.
Hello.
Yeah. Did you say hello or galo? Galo.
Galo.
Yes, it is hockey. Well done. So there's one. There is one that you've got as a point. Okay, we'll get to question number 3 for you to be crowned champion if you do get this one. This one is 50-50. Tafea and Panama did battle this week in Vanuatu's Women's Champions League football final. It was 4-4 at the end of extra time. Who won on penalties? Was it Tafea or Panama?
Panama?
That is incorrect. Tafea won 5-4 on penalties. It means they will represent Vanuatu at the OFC Women's Champions League in Fiji next January. And you don't become champion because you only got 1 out of 3. So it's not a great score.
Yeah.
But it was a great effort. It was a great effort going solo. A lot of pressure. But, hey, it is what it is. But that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to our Tongan media consultant and reporter, Kalo Manumoli Maloapito.
Maloapito, Sam, and thank you to the team from Fresh Off the Field. It's always a pleasure to be part of the episodes, and also with, you know, your programs promoting sports, not only for Tonga, but, you know, for the whole Pacific.
Now, I love your work, and hopefully the internet is working in Fiji for next time, and we get to hear from Whenau Wuli Wuli. But thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.